out this morning. I had it all thought out. I watched this film this morning on the follower of Jesus or a fan. The elders and wives are looking at that. And of course, all of you are going to be, if you join us in that, go through that series. And it has such an impact. I know that all of us, and I encourage every one of you to go ahead and follow through and see all this. It's not an easy series to watch. All of you watched quite a bit of Sunday if you were there and looked at the film, and you know pretty much about its focus and what's going to happen. And it's got six DVD series in that covers that general one that you looked at Sunday in more detail. And we're going to give you opportunity to share and to talk about your feelings concerning what the message of that series is. And I hope you will join in that, because I'm sure that's going to make us richer by far. Richer people, because I think it'll make you love more. And this is the idea. Okay. When I was small, a young child, long, 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 long time ago, I can just barely remember that being a child. I remember mostly voices. I remember grandma, and I remember mom and dad, and relatives, and I remember them saying things, phrases. And one of them, especially my grandmother, and I spent the summer with them, she often repeated herself quite a bit because of me. It says, behave yourself. You ever hear that one? Behave yourself, Ted. Well, and you get that from when you're a child, especially the adults like that phrase. And of course, as a child, you don't understand it. Why? Why is it all the time? Because you see, to behave yourself really means what you're doing isn't acceptable behavior, isn't it? That's really what it's all about. Because I was behaving. I mean, how can you live and not have behavior? Stupid question, isn't it? But I was behaving. It just wasn't what somebody else wanted me to behave as. You see? And that's the problem. But as a child, I remember getting tired of always being corrected. Now, whose fault was it? It was probably my fault. But I remember resenting. I didn't know what resentment was exactly, but that's when I look back on it, I see it's resentment. I resented that, being corrected all the time. And I would like to get away from it. I like to do my own thing. I like to get away, especially when you get to be a teenager. You have a very strong in your life. You want to pull away and pull free. You don't want this behave yourself, Ted. And then you become a follower of Jesus Christ. follower of Jesus. And we turn in the New Testament, and just about every line in the New Testament is saying, behave yourself, Ted. You begin to think, this is pretty much about what life's all about, isn't it? Behaving. At least that's one major part of it. Behaving yourself. Because we have a nature about us, in us, that we don't always want to behave in relationship to God. And that's odd, because when you're a child, I've had children, and of course, what was my role? Behave yourself, Jill. Behave yourself. And my mom saying, behave yourself. So it went right on. I didn't like it much, but it didn't stop me from becoming the same kind of person. Behave yourself. And you begin wondering why. Why do you have to teach a child from almost the time it starts walking and born? Why do you have to teach them to behave themselves? That is, why do you have to teach them to act in an acceptable way? They don't have that naturally. So you have to teach them at the table when they're eating, behave yourself. Here's the way you behave yourself at the table. And when you go to church and you sit down in this pew, behave yourself. And this is the way you behave yourself in church. Because we're worshiping God and it's important to us. And when you turn in the scriptures, God is saying, behave yourself. You turn over to Ephesians. Turn over to Hebrews first. And this is a very familiar passage. Of course, the more you study in the scriptures, it all becomes familiar, doesn't it? I read the scriptures and I probably have read it thousands of times. And you begin thinking this is all familiar territory here. And as a church, we come together and we study this over and over and over and over again, don't we? And just like the child, sometimes we say, I get a little bit of tired of hearing this or doing this, going over this again. But here's what the writer of Hebrews says. In the 12th chapter, and of course it's talking about our relationship with God, and it's saying in the fifth verse, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. Seventh verse, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Of course, you ladies know it means daughters too. I think the very important thing here, as far as our relationship with God, that God would even think about dealing with us as sons. Thank God that He's our Father in heaven. Thank Him for loving us to the extent that He wants to correct us. that he wants to say, Ted, behave yourself. In every day that I exist. You know, you can, New Testament, if you just try this, try it. Let's use the New Testament, though. You can use the Old, too. It works pretty well. But just sort of leaf through it, let it open, and boom, put your finger right there where it stops. Boom. Read that verse. And I think almost 9 out of 10 times it's going to be some instruction to you, me, to behave ourselves. That we got to be careful or we won't be acting in an acceptable way to God. And that Hebrew writer saying, just what you feel. You know, one of the most important things in our lives, and we just touched on it in when we looked at the film. Jerry mentioned this. One of the most important things you and I can have in our life is to be honest with ourselves. That is to really look at who you are and be honest. Have you done that? Have you ever done that? I've done that with me, and I have found, I don't know about you, but I have found it's easy for me to be delusional about myself. I don't know where this started. It may have started when I was a kid, and Roy Rogers and Gene Autry were my heroes. And they were, and I dreamed about being a cowboy on a horse, riding and correcting things. And it was a dream world. And I don't think entirely here, I'm 73 years old, and I'm not entirely out of that dream world. But I have to be really careful about that dream world because it's a world that doesn't exist. You can pop right in there and talk if you want to. You have to be honest with yourself. You can't look at yourself and think you're something that you are not. None of this works if you fool yourself. No, it works. At least I say, as a witness to you, it hasn't worked in my life. And I think I've learned some things, but I think when we go to God, when we approach God, we have to approach Him in Jesus Christ and just lay our life open. This is when things start to happen. This is when things begin, you begin to understand and look. But in the meantime, just like the writer of the Hebrews says in the 11th verse, look down at the 11th verse of the 12th chapter. 11th verse. And I think the writer is talking about how God really chastens us. He doesn't literally get out and whip us. Sometimes I feel like whipping, though. But it's life itself, that the life that we have to lead. From birth to death in itself is a discipline. And we learn all along the way. And if we're honest to ourselves, then God can guide us. And God can lead us. But if we get into that role of lying and dishonesty and what we're doing, with ulterior motives and all those kinds of things, if we get into that mode, we don't have a chance. God's not going to be able to help us. Just like, you ever feel helpless as a parent? You ever feel helpless? Why is it you feel helpless as a parent? That's right. It's because, now, when kids are down here, you can take them by the hair head and jerk them around. Right? Come here, I said. You can do that. But there's a time that ceases. You can't do that anymore. You can't demand you behave as I want you to behave. It ends somewhere. God doesn't violate that either. It's called free will. And I don't think God violates that. In any shape or way, He doesn't violate it. So, He's given us this discipline, this way of life. And the 11th verse says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. You get that? Never has been for me. And life is a lot that way. And even in Christ Jesus, in my faith in God, I find myself wanting to do my own thing. I'm just being honest. I don't know about you, but you can talk and say. But I still, even though I love God, I love Jesus. As a child of God, as a son of God, I still find myself wanting to be my own. How about you? So what makes us different? Well, just like this is saying, we are sons. And you got to think about that some. We're sons. What does that mean when you're a son or daughter of someone? Especially when you're talking about God. What does that really mean? Well, I've heard the gospel. I believe the gospel. I obey the gospel. I confessed. I'm saved. That's it. Very nice formula, huh? Very nice, convenient formula. But being a son of God, I believe it all. God makes you a son. Makes us sons and daughters of His. And that is something that is beyond my reasoning. And it starts with Jesus Christ. It starts with Him. Some of the very first words you see of Jesus in the Gospels is that He is the Son of God. And John, in the Gospel of John, says He's the only begotten Son of God. What's that mean? You stop and think about those little words that read? That's a little switch there, a little change, the Son of God. But what about the only begotten Son of God? Are you begotten? Yes, you are. You are begotten of God. In fact, it even says you're adopted. How about that? But nevertheless, a son of God. Now, all that Jesus came to do is for us to look at Him as the Son of God, and as we are sons of God in the same family, we're able to see Jesus and we can see ourselves. Can we not? Can we not? We should be able to, right? Yeah. Over in Ephesians. Ephesians. The first chapter of Ephesians. We're given about the fourth verse of the first chapter just to save a little time. These are some words that are straight out of this world. I mean, they're just words that you can't imagine when you really think about it. If you believe this, it's true. That's even something else. And he says in the fourth verse, just as He, that is God, just as God chose us in Him, that is in Jesus, God chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, before anything was, before anything is, He chose us. What did He choose? Why did He choose? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You want to know what God's doing? You know what His intent is? Because you're here? You want to know why you're here? You know what God's wanting of you? You want to know why God is saying behave yourself? Because you are a son and daughter of God in Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus, you can be like Him. Because Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and we are adopted sons and daughters of God. Let's read further. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, that is God's will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the beloved. So, our behavior can be good, can it? He can say, when we're doing something, God can be pleased. We can be accepted in Jesus. Right. We're looking at Ephesians. First chapter. So in the seventh verse it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Here's the plan of God. Here it is. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. That's a lot of powerful words, isn't it? Do you believe that? I'm telling you, if you believe that, just that alone is going to make a different person out of you from what you are today and what you're going to be tomorrow. to think about that, to contemplate, to look at what that says and believe it and live your life according to that, it's got to make you different. Now, if you don't believe it, if you just say, it could be right, could be, what that means, who can understand it all? And if you like that, it ain't going to faze you at all. But if you really believe this, look in the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How many spiritual blessings? Every spiritual blessing. Now you have to be thinking about what are those? What is that? It's in the heavenly places in Christ. What does it mean to be a son or a daughter to God? I don't know about you, but when I had my children, right away everybody's saying, he looks just like his dad. Isn't that true? Did you ever hear that? And I could never tell it because this is a little shriveled up thing. But now it's come true. Okay? Here's this old shriveled up thing. Now we're beginning to look alike as he looked. But you know how that is? When we have our sons and our daughters, everybody's looking at it and they know they are of you. They are the result of a union between their parents. And there's no doubt what this is and what it means and how it works to the right people, the right parents, how that works. Same with God. Same with God. Turn over to Hebrews again. In the first chapter, I think it's the first chapter, second chapter. And I've pointed this out before, but it's because it's such an amazing verse. That's amazing. The writer's trying to get us to look at this. We'll just class over. Huh? Quarter after? Oh, okay, got some time. Alright. In the ninth verse, you have to read this whole thing because it's asking the question, what is man? It's asking the question, what are we in relationship to anyone, everybody? And it answers the question. But down in the ninth verse, it says, after going through all this, it gives us something to measure by. It gives something that we can see things by. If we know Jesus, you see, if we are thoughtful enough and curious enough to learn about Jesus, what it's saying is, you can figure out and find out what God is all about as far as you and I are concerned. And it says in the verse, but we see Jesus. Now we don't see ourselves as everything coming about like it should. We see that we're on this earth and we are greatly more intelligent than most animals. Sometimes there's a question there. Sometimes. But we see there's a greater intelligence, don't we? And we see that we are more or less in charge. We do a sloppy job. If we listened to God, we would have done a great job. But God has placed us in charge. But we don't see everything in charge, it says, which implies. But we don't see everything in subjection. What that implies? Sometimes, implies to me, sometime along you're going to see everything in subjection. Doesn't that imply that to you? Now, the writer says, how do you know this? Well, he says, we see Jesus. How about Jesus now? He's a son, the only begotten son of God. All right, now what does Jesus have? How does God look at Jesus? Come on, tell me. Jesus is a son. What has Jesus got? We can say, well, there's Jesus. He looks just like the Father. I mean, just like God. All right. What? He's got the traits of his Father. Yes. Very definitely. Rick?
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well.
Yeah. You see, it's not always behave yourself. See? It's not always going to be behave yourself, Ted. It's going to get into a different realm, a different condition as to when God is going to say, I love you. I'm so proud of you. It's you in whom I am well pleased. And of course, he's going to be saying that not because of our capability and not because what we have achieved. He's going to be saying that because of Jesus himself. Jesus is going to bring us into that category of being blameless and holy before God. And Jesus is going to bring us into that sonship in which we are going to have an inheritance. And we're going to be like Jesus. That's what the Apostle John says when he comes again. We don't know what he's going to be, but we do know we're going to be like him. We're going to be like Jesus. It's going to be a spiritual nature, a spirit being. It's going to be godly. There's some people that really got after Jesus for saying that, more or less, that he was God. And I don't doubt that we wouldn't say the same thing to a person that claimed to be God. But Jesus points to the Old Testament and shows where the Old Testament says, you are gods. Talking about people. You ever think about that passage? What in the world is he saying? He's talking about relative to why God created us in the first place. We're going to be different than the angels. The only other created beings I know of that revealed to us anyway, the angels in the realm of God. But God created us, and it says that we're going to judge angels. In Corinthians, does it say that? That does. How in the world can someone like us judge angels? Wow. I mean, that's just... But to understand this is to understand what God has in store for us. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. You cannot imagine in your heart. Does this make you feel better? I could have stood up here in this class and you know, you ought to behave yourself. I mean, that's generally what we get. That's the diet. Isn't that the study diet? And we need it. I'm not saying we don't need it. But we got a study diet of behave yourself. And consequently, what I see in a lot of you as I learn and know you, you go around beating up yourself all day. I don't think God's intention is for us to beat up ourselves. And woe is me, I'm such a bad person. I'm a sinful person. I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, maybe you don't do that. I hope you don't. Because that's not God's intention. God loves us and He does correct us. He does a lot of correcting to the point. I mean, He does enough correcting that you get tired of it. I'm honest. I'm being honest. Occasionally, I'd like to come here together, and it happens a lot of times. A lot of times, I hear a sermon and a lesson that really lifts me up and edifies me from the standpoint, hey, I'm doing pretty well here, and I need to hear that once in a while. Do you? I don't need to hear something, you're going to hell every day. I don't need to hear that. I mean, it doesn't help me. If it helps me from prevent going to hell, okay. If that's what it takes, I guess, okay. But I don't want to hear that every day. I don't. And that, there's a lot of things that you are doing, that we are doing, that pleases God. And you need to understand that. And measure that. Sure, you need to correct things in your life. But did you ever try to list the things that you know from the Scriptures that are acceptable to God? Did you ever try to list those down? You should. And you say, yes. I mean, you're afraid to? I mean, you're afraid to say, yes, I do this, because you're going to say, as soon as you put that down, yes, I do this, you're going to say, oh, now I'm back in that mode of thinking my works is going to save me. We get so fouled up. We get so messed up in our idea of a relationship with God that we can't live in peace. I'm glad you wanted me to preach this morning. I want you in the Scriptures to feel right about yourself, because I think there is a glorious message in here that God has given us, that you are my son, you are my daughter. I want everything the best for you. I want you to understand that things are going to happen, that's going to be, you believe now, it's going to be unbelievable when you get there. Really unbelievable, the things that's going to happen. Because you are my son and my daughter. That, you should hear that. And if you've had sons and daughters and you try to rear them and never give them any confidence, never give them any encouragement, it makes a sort of a sour life for them, doesn't it? It makes a very hard life for them. Our time's about up. But I want you to think about this. Our journey through life is like a straight line. It's not bottom up. It's not like this. We're not thinking about it that way. Don't think about it that way. Because the Scriptures does not give it that way. You do not ever become better than someone else. You can't think that. Just put that out of your mind. You will never be better than someone else. We start on a straight line, a flat line, and we stay on that flat line. We're at just different stages on that line. So we got to be careful about our message to everyone that's on that line. What is some of the first hearing? We hear this. Hearing, you got to hear the gospel, don't you? You got to hear it to believe it. No way. Are you lost at that point? What? Don't even go there. If you're really hearing, no, you are not lost, because God will not allow you to be lost when you're hearing Him. He's going to take you next. the next step. You can't be lost. You see what I'm talking about? The next is decision. A time where you decide. This is what this movie's all about. Following Jesus. Not being just a fan, but following him. Making. I have decided to follow Jesus. You're still on the flat line. You're no better off than the person hearing. Here's a different stage. Go on. Knowledge. You can't just be at that decision point. You got to say, I got to know something. I got to learn something. I got to know more. It's a different stage. There's a point where you got to surrender. There's a point where you say, God, man, I can't take all this. I can't do all this myself. There's no way that I'm capable of this. I surrender all. God, just be in my life and make it what you want it to be. See? There comes a light on that line where you share. You're sharing. Sharing. And you don't have to be pushed or knocked into it. You don't have to, somebody with a bat at your right there saying, if you don't get over there and share something, I'm going to hit you with this bat. You got this where you're point on this line where you got to persevere. You got to know, I'm going to hang in here. I don't care what happens. I'm hanging into this. I'm going to continue to believe this in Jesus Christ because the blessing that God has given me, even through it all, until I die, I'm going to persevere in my faith towards God until Christ returns again. You see, that's all on the level line. The person up here that's saying, I persevere, is no greater than that person down there that has just made the decision to follow Jesus. We tend to want to tilt it. We want to say, well, he's down there. I'm up here. There's the lie. There's the lie. And there is where Jesus is saying, when he comes among these kinds at the judgment, I never knew you. Because they're saying, I'm up here, you're down there. And that's the lesson. Thank you.